Up your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 14. We have been preaching on John the Baptist as a part of a study of some New Testament Bible characters. And we previously preached a message about who he was, and then we preached a message that compared him with Christ, or at least some of the things that he did with some of the things that Christ did. And now, tonight, we're going to have the third and final message, and we will contrast John and King Herod. We'll look at differences between those two. So we'll begin reading tonight, Mark chapter 6. We'll begin reading there at verse 14. Let's read our text now. And we're going to read down through verse 29. And King Herod heard of him, and this he heard of Jesus, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. What's happening is the Jesus' name is growing. You know, the scripture says that John the Baptist would descend and Jesus would ascend. And so it is. John the Baptist, in fact, at this point, had been put to death already by Herod. Now, we're going to read about how that came to pass in the verses that come. But he has actually already been put to death. And now the fame of Jesus is beginning to spread. And Herod sees this, and we'll talk more about this in moments, but I think because of guilt, he has it in his head that Jesus is John the Baptist risen from the dead. And so he says that, and then others there say, no, it's Elijah, again, someone else risen from the dead. Others say that it is a prophet, probably meaning the prophet spoken of in the Old Testament scriptures, pointing to the Messiah. Or, and then others say, whereas one of the prophets, it's another prophet. Verse 16, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. A charger here meaning a dish or like a plate. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, O Lord, thankful for this evening service, Lord, that we have, and thankful for those who have come out here tonight to be a part of it. I pray, Lord, that we have indeed already worshiped you and have been pleasing in your sight as we have done so. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this reading of your word and that your Holy Spirit would teach us in our hearts what you would have us learn. Lord, we are so thankful that you do this for us. For without your Holy Spirit, we couldn't learn anything of you and of your kingdom. And so we thank you that you are patient and that you are a great teacher and that you teach us the things of your kingdom. So, Lord, just speak to our hearts here tonight. Bless each one who has come out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here the account of John the Baptist's death. We see the effect that this has on Herod. And there are some things that I wish to point out that are contrasts here between the two men. The first contrast is John was a faithful man, and Herod was a faithless man. John evidences his faith and his faithful actions by his rebuke of Herod's sin. Look back at verses 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. So they... what had happened, Herod, before even Herodias and Philip had been properly divorced, had taken her to be his wife. So he is committing adultery here. And John rebukes him for this. He points this out to him. And there's some thoughts I want to share about that for just a few moments. First of all, those who speak with God often in prayer are often the very same ones who are faithful to tell men of their sins. Now, in our time, it has become, I think, maybe more than ever, or taboo or a no-no in society to speak out about sin when we see it. The very first thing we know that we hear is that we shouldn't judge others. Well, we're not judging others when we point out obvious and open sin. Herod here is living in open sin before all. He's the tetrarch or the king, if you will, of this particular region. It's very obvious what he's done. It can't be hidden, and it's open. And he's living in this sin. It's obvious to see. And John the Baptist, in pointing it out, is not doing so, you know, as the judge of Herod. He is pointing it out because that's what we are called to do. We are to point out sin when we see it. You know, in our day, we deal so much with homosexuality and other things. The door has been opened wide now for other things to come in where people will be saying that they ought to be free to do things that the Bible clearly calls sin. In fact, mark my word, the next big group that's going to begin to draw attention, I think they've been waiting quietly for their time, but mark my word, pedophiles will be the next big group that steps up and says they ought to have a right to do what they do. The line is drawn. It's not we who draw the line. The line has already been drawn in Scripture. And we must point to Scripture to point out what is sin. If man does not realize he is a sinner, then he will never realize that he needs God, that he needs a Savior. So we are to point out sin, not in a judgmental kind of attitude kind of way, but simply point it out. And that's what John the Baptist does. And he is faithful to do so. He is faithful to God when he does so. We preached this morning about how faithful God is to us. And I tried to end that message with a call for us to be faithful to God. Well, one way we can be faithful to God is to speak out when we see sin in our time. I know some people in our circles are very openly revulsed by some of the sins like sodomy and other things that are going on in our country. I say to you, we should be as revulsed by adultery as we are sodomy. Any sin is sin against God, and we should be as strong against one as we are the other. But it takes being grounded in Scripture, and it takes being grounded in prayer with God and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit to know when to speak out, how to speak out, and to have the courage to speak out. John the Baptist had that kind of courage. He had that kind of understanding. He had that kind of grounding. And he spoke about sin when he saw it. He didn't care who it was. He understood that Herod had the power to take his life. And that anybody who spoke against the king in that day and in that time would lose their life, most likely. But that didn't stop him from doing what he was supposed to do. Herod, on the other hand, was a faithless man. He evidenced his faithlessness. You know, John evidenced his by rebuking Herod's sin. Well, Herod evidences his faithlessness by his stony ground life that he lived. We read that he gladly heard John, but we also read how he continued to pursue the things of the world. We read back there, let's see. Verse 20, for Herod feared John. We're not sure if that means that he had a reverent respect for John as we are to have for God, or if it means he was in fear of John, a scared kind of fear. But he feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. He watched him. Easy to do. He had him in prison. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Herod liked to listen to John speak. He probably, maybe, was refreshed by his bluntness. Herod was surrounded by people who told him only what he wanted to hear. Yes men, if you will. Here's John the Baptist telling him those things that he didn't want to hear, and openly do so and without any fear. And I think something about that attracted Herod to John the Baptist. By the way, I think we're seeing that played out for us politically right now. There are those running in the presidential primary, the Republican primary, that is, for president. And some of them are pretty blunt in what they're saying, and people are attracted to that, I think, because there's a general dissatisfaction with the political speech that we hear oftentimes from politicians, telling us what we want to hear. And these people are saying some tough things. I think a little of that is going on here with John and Herod. Herod gladly hears what John has to say. But I referred to Herod as living a stony ground life. Turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 16 for a moment. Mark chapter 4, verse 16, where we read about those who are referred to by Christ in this parable as being those where the seed is sown on stony ground. Mark 4, 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's exactly what we read about Herod. He received John's word with gladness. But receiving what someone has to say about the gospel and about the Lord Jesus Christ with gladness by no means means they have been born again. There are many who receive with gladness. Verse 17, they received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I think that describes Herod and his reception of John the Baptist. Charles Spurgeon says this about Herod. Herod was a foxy man. We sometimes meet with these foxy people. They want to go to heaven, but they like the road to hell. They will sing a hymn to Jesus, but a good roaring song they like also. They will give money to the church, but how much money is spent on their own lust? They try and dodge between God and Satan. And I think that's what Herod is doing here. He's trying to walk that fence, if you will, between the things of God and the things of the world. And whenever you try to do that, you will always fall. And if you're unregenerate, you will always fall to the worldly side. And I believe that's what happens with Herod. So he demonstrates that he is a faithless man in opposition to John being a faithful man. And then there's another thing I would like to point out. And that is that John was a blessed man and Herod was a burdened man. Why was John a blessed man? After all, he's beheaded in prison here. How do you call that blessed? Well, I think John is blessed because of his character. In other words, the way he conducted himself. Character matters. We need to instill this in our children, and we need to remind ourselves of it. And we need to live lives of good character now more than ever. Character is something that's rarely spoken of. When people are lauded in the media, in the public, they're always lauded for things, anything but their character, it seems. Maybe they're a great singer or a great actor or actress or something of those sorts, some sort of media sensation. They're lifted up not because of their good character, it seems, but because of their worldly appeal. Well, I think John is blessed because of his character. I think God blesses those who are concerned about character and about how they live their lives. I think he's blessed because he was holy in his life. Back again to verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy. John, it was perceived by Herod and I think many others, John was perceived as being a man who was holy and just in his ways. Now we know that he was holy and just, not perfectly so, but any holiness and any justness that he displayed in his life was because of the power of God in him, the Spirit of God working in him. But folks, we need to see that. We have too many professing Christians who are sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone else to step up and live that kind of life. I say we all ought to be John the Baptist. The world may ridicule us as they did John. They may see us as being strange. But they should. A Christian ought to be so obviously different from those of the world that they do appear to be strange to those of the world. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not hard to do really right now. Just take God's side on things. Stand on His truth. And you'll instantly be relegated to that strange crowd. I used to hear years ago about people make comments in church about how, you know, they didn't really want to stand out. They didn't want us to be seen as weird because they believed in Jesus. Look where that's got us. Someone thinks you're weird because you follow Christ, because you're trying to live a holy and just life, because of what He has worked in you, and that's a good kind of weird. Now, I grant you, there are people that get carried away and go to extremes in the name of Christianity. But if we're pursuing a Christ-like life, that alone is going to appear pretty weird to those who are of the world. But we're going to stand out. And I think ultimately we're going to stand out in a good way because Herod recognized that he was a just man and a holy man. I think Herod saw that John had something that Herod himself did not have. I think Herod recognized that John had something that the religious leaders of the day didn't have. John was a blessed man, because he lived this holy life. And I say to you, he was a blessed man because he suffered for the sake of truth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, which Brother Heath is teaching on in Sunday school class, in the adult Sunday school class. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does that verse start with? It starts with the word blessed. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I think John was a blessed man because he suffered for the sake of truth. He suffered rejection. He suffered ridicule. He suffered imprisonment. And finally, he suffered martyrdom. He was martyred for the cause of Christ. And he would be the first of many. You know, if you go back and if you look at a history of the early leaders of the church, just about every single person whose name you read in the New Testament was martyred for the cause of Christ. The one main one not martyred was the Apostle John. Everyone else that you read about, I'll say almost everyone because we don't know the history of every single person, but the main ones you read about, all the other disciples, Timothy, Silas, they were all martyred. We think we're suffering persecution when we make a comment on Facebook and somebody doesn't like it and they post their that they don't like it. Boy, we're just really under persecution. That's terrible. Folks, we don't know what persecution is. But we may soon know. And I'm going to say this. We ought to know it. As a little more time passes, if things continue to worsen, if the Lord does not come back first, if He does not pronounce a severe judgment upon this nation, we're going to know it. We're going to know persecution. And we need to prepare for that. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. John was a blessed man. Herod, on the other hand, was a burdened man. I believe Herod was burdened because he was a sinner without peace with God. A sinner without peace. You and I are sinners. I say that in a general sense. Most everybody in here has professed faith in Christ that I know of, barring some of our youngest ones. We're sinners. But the difference with us is we have peace with God. There's a huge difference in being a sinner who has peace with God than in being a sinner without peace with God. Huge difference. Probably one we take for granted if we've, you know, been born again and professed faith for any length of time. Herod was burdened because he was a sinner without peace. He was burdened because he was a sinner full of the guilt of his sins. You know, that's another blessing we have if we've been born again. We're not burdened by the guilt of our sins because they have been paid for. Amen. Now, certainly as we live, we sin. And there will come, we will be troubled by our sin. If you're a child of God and you sin, you will be troubled by that sin. Amen. And certainly we have that. But that's nowhere near what the lost person experiences as far as the guilt of their sin. And they probably, and I know they don't, they really don't understand it, but they are burdened by the full guilt of their sins because their sins haven't been paid for. He was burdened, I believe, because he had a troubled conscience. His conscience was troubled so much that he thought Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Verse 14, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. This is of Jesus. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. He had a guilty conscience because he had given in and allowed John the Baptist to be beheaded. And he understood that that meant murder. All because he and his pursuit of worldly things was moved by the dance of the daughter of his adulteress, or they were both adulterers, so-called wife, and being there in front of all of his big leaders, all of his supporters, all of those whom he ruled over, and that he wanted to be held high in prestige in their eyes. In front of all them, he foolishly says that he would give her anything she asked for. She runs to Mama. Mama tells her, I want John the Baptist's head on a plate. And she goes back and she tells Herod that. Now Herod is put on the spot. You see, all of this is being done in front of his honored guest at this feast, his birthday feast. So he's put in a position to where he must say yes or look like a fool. It's a tough place to be where whatever you do will be a fool. You'll be a fool. You'll be foolish. And that's where he was. And I think this troubled his conscience so much so that when Jesus began to preach that the people should repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, and Herod heard that's what he was preaching, that he was convinced that this was John the Baptist raised from the dead. And he just couldn't escape that. Others tried to tell him that it was someone else. We read that in verses 15. And then verse 16, Herod says, no, it's John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. That's the sign of a troubled conscience. He's burdened with guilt, and it's demonstrated by his really unexplainable thinking here. Guilt will do that to you. You remember Joseph's brothers back in the Old Testament? They sold Joseph into slavery. You remember that? We studied that and studied Joseph's life here a few years ago, whenever it was. They were burdened for years by what they had done. So much so they thought probably Joseph had died. They go to Egypt as the story went, and years later, and at this time Joseph has risen. He is the number two man in Egypt. But they don't know he's Joseph. And when he reveals himself to them, even before that, they demonstrate that they are still plagued by what they had done to their brother. And even after he reveals himself, even after he forgives them, even after he gives them gifts and opens them warmly, welcomes them warmly, even then, later, they still can't get past what they had done, for they were guilty. They were burdened by their guilt. Tonight I ask you, are you burdened with the guilt of sin? Do you think you're like Herod? In the sense that you recognize sin, you see the guilt of your sin, and you haven't made a true profession of faith in Christ. I say to you tonight, if you recognize that, step out of that cloud. Step to Christ. Believe that He has paid the debt for your sin. And believe that there is no longer any guilt for you to bear. For He has completely paid the price for your sin. Believe on the name Jesus. Call upon Him for forgiveness of your sin. Repent, turn away from that sin, and turn to Christ. And experience that feeling, that realization that indeed He is your Savior. And that guilt has been swept away. And then walk through life blessed like John the Baptist. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We'll be dismissed after this prayer. I'll remind our men to stay for a men's meeting. Brother Jeff, would you dismiss us, please?
Yeah.